let's say in 1994 or 5 or 6, around there, if he had judged the world at that point, I would have been judged as a false prophet, a false teacher. I would have been damned to hell or damned to death. I don't really believe in... I don't like to say damned to hell per se. I like to use the same language as Scripture uses. You know, I would not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and I would not inherit eternal life. I'm going to go to hell whether I... Well, unless I live to see the Lord return, I'm going to visit hell. I'm going to be buried in hell. You know, again, this becomes a problem in the language because in the King James, they translate three different words, hell, which is very confusing. And the three words have three, it'd be one thing if they were, you know, like the words translated anger. There's several words translated anger, but they all mean anger. But the words translated hell, they're all very different meanings. And so it becomes very confusing because if you think of it in terms of you're looking for some sort of linear, consistency, you're not going to find it. Look at verse 4. For God, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample to those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Let's hold it, because I really want to get... Probably could read this whole chapter as one. I love this word. So go back to verse 4. God spared not the angels that sinned. There were angels that sinned. They kept not their first habitation, as it is written. As it is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, it says that there were giants in the earth in those days. And the word giants is Nephil, which means fallen ones. And to me, that means fallen angels. But you know what? That is a completely... I desire to say no more about it because it really won't help you be saved. Except that you know this. He did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Well, the word here is... cast down to hell is actually one word in Greek. Tartaru. It's kind of like he says he tartarized them. He didn't turn them into tartar sauce. No. Tartarus... or Tartaros, however you want to say it. It was considered in Greek mythology, it was the deepest pit of Hades, where the giants were supposedly incarcerated. Meaning the, I believe it was the, you know, the giants of Greek mythology, not necessarily the giants of Genesis 6. But, they were cast down to Tartarus. He uses the word Tartarus. Again, it talks about spirits in prison. Jude also kind of makes reference to this. He says, I didn't think we were going to cover Jude, but we probably will right after 2 Peter, just to, because it's short, and I thought, well, I might as well get it while I'm here, and it is a good word, no doubt. You know, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. The gospel writers don't really talk a lot about that. I know the things that are said about them, and there are, pseudepigraphal writings about them, but all that really isn't important. What's important is this, is that God, like the angels that sinned, like the old world that was overthrown, like Sodom and Gomorrah, God is going to reserve these false prophets of our generation to an overthrow. The word overthrow in verse 6 is catastrophe, or catastrophe, whatever, however they say in Greek. But it is literally where we get our word catastrophe. Now, that's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what happened to Noah's old world. And God, that's what's going to happen to these false teachers. They're going to crawl into the mountains, figuratively or literally, and into the caves of the earth. And they're going to cry out to the rocks. And they're going to say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the Lamb. I'm confident. You know, when the false Christ appears, unless you have the true gospel, you're going to worship Satan. And if not, you're going to be sorely vexed in the time to come. But especially these. You know, the way of truth is evil spoken of. Because of what? Because of Christian hypocrisy. I think that's the number one thing, isn't it? Isn't that the number one thing that causes people to speak evil of the way of truth? Is Christian hypocrisy? It's disgusting. Yeah, I've been guilty of it. But the problem is, it's so widespread, and then people don't think, well, we should do something about that. We should seek the Lord. But they just continue in it. Look, they don't follow the law of God, and they want to make everyone else follow the law of God. You're a hypocrite. You gotta start at home. If you aren't righteous, why are you trying to make the laws of the land make everyone else righteous? You're nuts. It's not gonna work. What do you want, put people in jail for sinning? Well, no, but yeah, well, but you know what? It's like you want to run everyone there. Look, the ungodly are going to do as the ungodly want to do. I'm not here to run their life. I'm here to preach a gospel to those who would live godly, who want to. I'm not saying I'm here to preach to the righteous. I'm here to preach to sinners, but sinners who want to repent. Now, those who scoff at righteousness, those who hate true righteousness, let them hate it.